you are not just a sinner trying to act like a saint. If you are in Christ, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you right now. That resurrection power means you are no longer bound to a flesh-driven life. You are free to walk in the public square as a Spirit-filled witness with real authority and fruit. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I hope you're liking this series called I Am Convinced, because we need to be convinced of our theology, of the Word of God, of all the things that God has said to us, and not even just our theology, but really understanding that God has set you free. So I hope that you're convinced about these things. And if you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. If you could do me a great big favor, share the Washington Defender app with somebody today. We are trying to get 200,000, 300,000 people praying, moving forward. Our ultimate goal is 1.7 million and to have the technology to mobilize the grassroots very, very quickly. So if you could share that app, that would be very, very helpful. So also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. You are a blessing. And we just want to thank you for your generous support of FPIW and FPIW Action. So we are in our series called I Am Convinced, and we've been working through the book of Romans. This one is, you are not in the flesh. So let's read the verse as a whole. And then we'll come back and break it down. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. For if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, which dwells in you. So are you fully convinced that you are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit? Now, as soon as you hear that, you're like, wait a minute, I'm a human being. I'm not some kind of like, you know, I got flesh. I got skin. I got bones. I got all these things. I'm not just some abstract thing floating around the universe trying to figure life out. No, I'm not saying that. But you are not of the, you might say, fleshly. You are so much more. If you've been born again, you know, brand new inside, you are now of the Spirit that is controlling your flesh, your mind, your will, your emotions, your desires. All that stuff is being controlled by the Holy Spirit because you're no longer fleshly. Now, you say, wait, okay, but I'm still being sanctified, Brian. Like, I still have fleshly moments. I get it. A moment is different than a lifestyle. You can have a moment of being fleshly, but if you have a lifestyle of being fleshly, you might want to see if you're in the Spirit. Okay, so what are we doing in these devotions? We are working on changing our hearts, and this is the perspective that we've been working on, so that we change the public square. What if Washington State, all 8 million of us, began to glorify God Almighty, turned to the living God and said, God, you are the King, we are your servants, and we're here to please and honor you. What if we began to love our neighbor as ourselves? What if we just did those things? Would our culture change? Would the public square change? Absolutely. So I want to ask you, are you fully convinced that you're not fleshly anymore? Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So it says very clearly, you are not in the flesh. In other words, you're not to operate in the flesh. You are not to interact in the flesh. You are not to, you know, go about your day in the public square in the flesh or being fleshly. You are in the Spirit, and the Spirit of the living God dwells in you. Think about your workplace today. What changes because you firmly believe that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you? What changes? So there's some if statements. There's two right here, and there's going to be, I think, one or two later. that you're going to look at. So first, if statement is this, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, so I'm abundantly clear, we don't serve three separate gods. Like, you get the Father inside of you, and then you beg the Jesus to come inside you, and then you beg the Holy Spirit to come inside you. We serve one God, in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one God. And so when God the Father shows up, Jesus shows up, the Holy Spirit shows up, they are one. They're inside of you. They dwell inside of you. So if statement number one is, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So every believer has the Spirit of God inside of them. That is the regenerating work of God in your life. The Spirit of God, the engine, the power, the mechanism, whatever, drives out the spirit of Antichrist, drives out the spirit of the flesh, drives out the that evil spirit is driven out by the Holy Spirit. And now at the core of who you are brand new. Number two is, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him, God the Father. So if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. So those are the two conditional if statements that he says right off the beginning. So let's read some statements of Jesus. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the bushes, nor figs from the thistles, are they? So every good tree that bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. So Jesus in Matthew 7 here is just laying it out. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. So if you have no fruit of Jesus in your life, you need to think about that. Think about that conditional statement. Are you in Christ Jesus? Because if you're in Christ Jesus, you're going to bear good fruit. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Are you doing the will of God the Father? Are you doing it? Because if you are not doing the will of God the Father, then you don't have eternal life inside of you. You do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You say, well, I just added Jesus. I didn't want him to become Lord of my life or master of my life. Then you don't have Jesus. Jesus is not a lucky rabbit foot. He's not something you add in. He is through confession of faith in Jesus Christ, that you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he enters in and he takes a dominance over all of your life. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So if you are practicing lawlessness, now let me be very clear. This is breaking the laws of a nation or country or whatever. But if you're practicing lawlessness, this is really breaking God's law. So if you're breaking God's commandments to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to love your neighbor as yourself, or you are like, I'm going to be a murderer, or I'm going to be a thief, or I'm going to be a person who covets, or I'm going to be a person of jealousy, I'm going to hate my mother and father, that's all lawlessness. God's law is very clear about those things. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Is your life built on the rock of Christ Jesus? Because if it is, are you convinced that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. So when we don't act out the will of God and walk in the very things of God, we're like a foolish man. We're beyond foolish. Actually, we actually can deceive ourselves because we can have a lot of theological knowledge without theological application. And that knowledge can somehow cause us to be deceived so that we think we're in, but we're actually out because everything in our life is contrary to it. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as having authority and not as the scribes. So think about this. He says in this, is the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you? Is the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of you? You cannot be God's disciples and practice whatever you want. Look at this. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So if you want to come after Jesus Christ, are you denying yourself, or are you running after every pleasure, every desire, every emotion, every thought that comes into your life? If you want to be a disciple of God, you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross daily and follow after Jesus. Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So if you love your mother, father, wife, children, brothers and sisters more than you love God, even yourself, you can't be a disciple of Jesus. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. If you do not pick up the cross of Jesus Christ daily, by the way, you cannot be a disciple of Christ. So that none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his possessions. So think about that for a moment. If you are unwilling to be a giver, to give up everything for the sake of Christ, you cannot be a disciple of God, of Jesus. So let's go back to Romans. Romans 8:10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So we see the third if statement. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. This is that struggle. Now, what is our body? It is the skin, the bones, all that, but it's also our mind, will, and emotions. It's our soul. It's dead inside of us. But the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, when you see these he, hims, you're sometimes like, what? How do I know who that is? I like to substitute. But if the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't make sense. But if the Spirit of Jesus who raised Jesus from the dead, that doesn't make sense. But if the Spirit of the Father who raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, that makes sense. Then the Father who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. What happens here? It's an if statement. Number three, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, God the Father will raise Jesus from the dead. Who raised Jesus from the dead will he do? Give life to your mortal body through the Spirit of the Father who dwells inside of you. You have abundant life inside of you today. Are you fully convinced of this? Are you fully convinced that the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? I have a friend who says, I am not a sinner who's trying to be a saint. I am a saint who occasionally sins. And why is that? When God has entrusted his Spirit to you, he's placed it inside of you. Now you have the opportunity by faith through grace to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as you go into that workplace each and every day. The same resurrection Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, inside of your heart, inside of your mind, inside of your spirit, inside of all you who you are. You have more of a propensity to be able to walk in victory today because that engine, that power, that source of strength is dwelling inside of you. It's causing you to be a witness. It's causing you to have a desire and for the lost, to be compassionate. It's causing you to be born again, brand new in the things of God, and you just cannot wait to share the free gift of God with others. So what am I saying? What's our public square application today? Are you fully convinced you are in Christ Jesus? Not only is Christ Jesus in you, but you are also in him. Go back 2 or 3 days ago. We talk about that quite heavily. Are you fully convinced that you are in Christ Jesus? I'm convinced. I'm convinced that if you've confessed Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you are saved. And in that moment of repentance and in that moment of confession, that Jesus steps in and casts out that evil spirit and places the Holy Spirit inside of you, causing you to be in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus in you. Wow. Are you fully convinced that the Spirit of God, the same resurrection Spirit, dwells inside of you? I'm fully convinced that today as you walk into that workplace, that the Holy Spirit's going to give you spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and spiritual words to speak to people's lives that they may be transformed by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. The Word of God defines the parameter, right? We have the Word of God right here, the authority of God's Word, and it's teaching us from the inside out how to walk in those things. And I am convinced, fully convinced, that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you. Now I want that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to flow into every single thought that you have today. Every single emotion will be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Every single desire will have God's Spirit just entering in, causing you to walk in purity today. No longer are you going to run back to the chains and hold on to those chains and say, I'm bound by these. No, you have been set free. In other words, when Jesus set you free, he took off the shackles. You're no longer bound by them. As Christians, we only run back, as Christ followers, we run back to the chains and try to hold on to them ourselves. I'm fully convinced that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you, giving life to your mortal body. You are not a slave to your mortal body any longer. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be his witness today. I am fully convinced that God is giving life to your mortal body today. We can see an awakening of God's Spirit across the state of Washington and a revival within the body of Christ that like never before, because Christ, who is our life, is giving life to these mortal bodies. So whether you're a business owner, whether you are a legislator, whether you are an employee, a manager, whatever you might be today, ask and acknowledge, Holy Spirit, direct my path today. Go before me in all things today. Give life to this mortal body. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let them be acceptable to you. Lord, I pick up my cross today and follow after you. I bear fruit. The natural byproduct of the believer is to bear fruit of righteousness for the glory of Almighty God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we go into this marketplace today that you will give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to fill those around us. Let us speak truth to those around us. Let us not lie to them, but speak love and truth to them. Love that is so palatable, but truth that is so clear. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are inside of us, giving life to our mortal bodies. God, help us to walk in that abundant life today. Go before us in all things. God, we are convinced that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of us. Lord, we are fully convinced that you are with us and go before us and surround us today. Give us divine appointments that we can share the gospel message, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with those around us, that this free gift of grace has been given to each one of us that we may share that with others today. Let there be a great harvest in Olympia today. Let there be an awakening and revival in Olympia today. Let newness of life step into our capital, into our laws, into the things that we are mandating today. God, we pray for revival in the Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian parties. God, we pray that there would be such a revival of your Spirit that Sunday school lessons of our elected will come alive to them again, that the Word of God that has been implanted upon them as children will begin to move in such a way in their minds and their hearts and their souls to cause them to bow their knees before you, the living God. God, just as Joseph prayed for Pharaoh, we pray for our governor, God. We ask that you would show in his heart the goodness of Almighty God, that today will be the day of repentance. God, just as Moses moved us out of bondage and slavery, so you will move us out into freedom, God, that we would see and that we would know that you are a God that goes before us. God, would you go before us in all things? Let every one of our elected officials, whether it's Trump on the federal level, down to a school board member on the state level, let them bow their knees before you and to know you. God, we just thank you that you want to do something mightily in our presence and in our midst today. We come before your throne room and we say yes to you today, God. We say yes to your ways today. We say yes to all that you have. God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God, we pray for your nation of Israel, that that repentance will come to the Jewish people and that they will see Jesus as their Messiah. Go before us today, God. God, would you prepare the bride of Christ for your soon coming to take us to that place that you've prepared for us? In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.